We have two more weeks left of this series counting today. The series called The God That I Wish You Knew. And as we've kind of talked about in this series, we all have opinions of who God is. You have an opinion. It's based on many different things in your life. Ideas of what God is really like from your own experience. Sometimes that experience is good, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we have an experience with God that is based out of a bad situation in our lives. One of the things that we've looked at is how we view God will determine how we interact with God. So if we don't have a good opinion of God, or if we don't trust God, we're not going to interact with Him in the daily life like He asked us to. So when we all have ideas of who God is, sometimes those things are based on other people's experiences of God, on other people's hurts of God. And as they pass that on to us, what happens is our opinion of God changes. So as we discover who God really is, it changes how we live. It changes how much peace you have and how much joy you have, how much strength, how much faith you have. All those things are determined by your opinion of who God is. That's why this is really important for us. I watch people, I'm not looking at anybody in here, but I watch people, being in ministry for a long time, I watch people walk away from God. I watch people walk away from church. I watch people walk away from relationships here because they have a false assumption of who God is, because they have a bad opinion of who God is. And then what happens is because they have that false assumption or that bad opinion, what really happens is they have no strength for life. They have no strength for difficulties. When troubles come, they don't have the strength within to stand against it. And so they fold. It's very easy. That's why I sit here and I look at all of you and I don't want that to happen to anybody that's here. But that's our responsibility, is to discover, interact with a God who I wish that you knew, a God that the scripture talks about and how strong and capable He is. It increases your strength when we get to know Him. So the strength that you need in daily life comes from your opinion of who God is. In this series, what we've looked at is the God that I wish you knew is a God who is for you. And when we know that God is for us, we don't hide from God, but we run to God. Big difference in how we do life. A lot of people run from God. But when you know that God is for you, you don't run from Him, you run to Him. We also looked at the God that I wish you knew is a God who speaks to you, and we live in a world that does not believe that God speaks to us. They cannot believe that God speaks to them because the Spirit doesn't dwell in them. And so when they hear that God wants to speak, they think it's crazy. See, and the truth is relationship requires communication. Of course God wants to speak to you. He created you for relationship. Last week we looked at the God that I wish you knew is the God who keeps His promises. And we looked at this and we found that the God is only as good as His word. And if we don't think that He is faithful, then we're not going to trust Him. If we don't think that God is reliable, we're not going to turn to Him. This week, the God that I wish you knew is a God who can change you. A God who can change you. Now, you might think, you know what, I'm good with this one. And I'm going to let you know, none of us are good with this one, okay? This is something that all of us deal with. The God that I wish you knew is a God who can change you and change me. Some people see change as a good thing. Those people are few, but they do exist. Some people don't want God to change them because they don't know what that change actually looks like, and they think that that change might cost them too much, so they fight it. Understanding that God can change you makes you aware of His power and His love for your life. When you understand that God can change you, it puts you in touch with His power and His love for your life. And you might be thinking, no, Dave, you know what? You don't know how bad I am. You don't know what I've done. And I'd like to remind you of a scripture we talked about last week, just to help you recall. It says this, that God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. He's not forcing change, but He is leading change. He is gently working change into all of our lives, whether you're aware of it or not. And as we allow Him and trust Him, we get close to Him in this relationship. It's important to remember a few things. You can write this one down, but the further away that we get from God, the more our lives are troubled. The closer we get to God, the more our lives are transformed. That's important. Troubled brings fear. It brings uncertainty. It brings this kind of a chaos into our lives because we don't have this close relationship. We're uncertain of what's going to happen. But the closer we get to God, the more God uses these uncertainties to transform us and to change us. So how does change get started in our lives? I mean, there's a lot of different ways, right? But the first one, you can write this in if you want in your notes. There comes a point that we have to get tired of our current condition. Change will never begin until we get personally tired of our current condition and what's going on in our lives. Whatever it is that God's dealing with, whatever it is, it's not just if we tolerate it, if we're okay with the tension, then we'll never embrace the change. There comes a point that we have to get tired of our current condition. Another way change starts is this. We have to take responsibility for our part in the problem. And our part in the problem is this, that we're all sinners. And in that, we want control. Now I just want you to get this, okay? Because if we are fighting for control, then God's never going to be able to work the change in our lives that he wants, because he needs control in order to do that. So our current problem is that we want to have control. And if we have control, then change never begins in our lives. I like this third one, and that's this. Our reason to change must be greater than our excuses to stay as we are. Change only begins when our reason to change becomes greater than our excuses to stay as we are. Because we've all got excuses. And we all think, hey, you know what? I'm okay. If you think you're okay, you're never going to let God change you. There's no reason to, because you're okay. If you think, hey, you know what, I've got it all together, then there's no reason. If you think, oh, you know what, I don't need this, I'm okay, then you're never going to be open for what God wants to do in your life. At some point, we have to turn to God. We can make changes in our behavior. All of us can. But we cannot change the problem that's causing the behavior. We need God. You can change your behavior. You can't change the problem that's causing the behavior. So in other words, you might stop doing something, but it's going to materialize somewhere else. Here's another one. It's not who you've been or who you are that matters, but who you are becoming. Because God is working in all of us his plan, what he wants to do in our lives. And a lot of times we get hung up on who we've been in the past or who we are currently, and we think that that prevents us from what God wants to do. It's not about who you've been, it's not about who you are, it's about who you are becoming. And God has to be involved in that. So we need to ask the big question, and that is, do you really want to be changed? You have to answer the question, do you really, really want to be changed? Is it a good idea? Or are you like, oh, you know what, I have to check that out. Do you really want to be changed? Because God's not going to force change upon any of us. We have different responses and different obstacles to change, and I want to go through these rather quickly if I can, but first of all, there's a response that some feel to change, and that is this, that God can't change me. That's a very real response that people have. When it comes to what God wants to do, when we talk about God having a plan for your life, when we talk about what God wants, that God is shaping all of us to become more like his son, when that's God's goal, and we look at him and go, you know what, I'm counted out. Because we feel like God cannot change us. We know ourselves really well. And to think that God can change us, you might say, you know what, Dave, I'm stuck, I'm doomed, I get it. It's just not going to happen. Here's the obstacles I think that we face. When we believe that God can't change us, the reason we believe that is these obstacles. First of all, we say this, my sin is too great for God to forgive. That's one of the biggest ones. People say, my sin is too great for God to forgive. In other words, my past, whatever it is too great, and God cannot change me. You might even say things like attached to that would be, I've done too many things wrong, and somehow that disqualifies you. Regardless, it might be legitimate. You might have done a lot of really bad things in your life and in your past, but those are excuses. These are obstacles that justify why you believe that God cannot change you. And when you believe that God cannot change you, you have reduced God from God who can do anything to a God who can only do what you think he can do. See, God can do anything. Here's another obstacle we face. When we think that God can't change me, we also feel like I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And the truth is you don't. None of us do. Nobody feels like we deserve God's forgiveness. We look at who we are, what we've done, and what we deserve, and it is not God's forgiveness. But we have to believe that God is greater than the wrongs that we've done in the past. That's what faith is all about. God values you in spite of what you've done. That's the great thing. In spite of whatever it is. I don't care if you're a mass murderer. I don't care if you're Al-Qaeda. God is greater than what you've done in the past. And God loves you in spite of what you've done. We have to understand that God is greater than those things. Many of us can't forgive ourselves. So why would God forgive us? And if we're going to overcome these obstacles in our lives, then we need to have or be able to take a step of faith. And here's the step of faith that we need to take. If this is where you're at, God can't change me, and if you believe that your sin is too great and you don't deserve God's forgiveness, the step of faith that you have to take, that I have to take, all of us do, is we have to accept God's love and forgiveness. You have to accept it. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. It's a gift. None of us deserve it. We couldn't earn it ever. But you can't move forward without accepting Jesus. And Jesus is the expression of God's love for all of us. That's why he died on the cross for you, to pay the penalty for your sins personally. Ephesians 2 says this, God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God. It's not the result of anything you've done, so no one can brag about it. It's a gift. You have to accept it. Just like Christmas. You get a gift and you accept it. And you have to accept that God can change you. Here's another response that we have to God changing us. We feel like God has changed me already. And we're pretty comfortable with that. It's another response that we have. You might have experienced God's forgiveness. You might have experienced God's change in your life to some degree. And you feel like, you know what? I have experienced a change in my life. And I think that's enough. There's always a beginning part to the change that we have in our life. But then obstacles come that we face. And what happens are some of these obstacles that we deal with is this. We become satisfied with the change that we've already experienced. We become satisfied as if nothing more is needed in our lives. Dave, you know what? I've come a long way and I've come far enough. Or we might even say, you know what, Dave? I am better than they are. That's an issue of just becoming satisfied with change that we've already experienced and feeling like it's enough. Another obstacle is we start tolerating things in our lives that need to be changed. We develop this thought process. There are some things that I'm doing, but it's okay because God and I have an understanding. It's not that big of a deal, and you know, we're good. God and I are on good terms with this, and I don't need to be changing anything. He'll let me know when I change. And he's already told me everything's okay. Well, once again, you're talking to a different God, okay? But it's things like, I'm not minimizing it, but it's things like attitudes that we allow in our lives that we feel like, you know what, it's justified. These attitudes I have, they're justified. I don't have to change it. We might say things like, you know what, I've got baggage in my life that I continue to carry, and I'm okay with it, and God's okay with it. Or we can live with a pattern of sin where we refuse to change. Or maybe it's something as easy as God, we say, you know what, I refuse to forgive somebody even though God is asking me, but you know what? It's been a long time and I'm okay. I'm still working on that. I don't have to forgive. And the truth is, the Bible says that if you don't forgive others, then God will not forgive you. So to say that I don't have to change, boy, we've missed it. See, it leads us to the next barrier that we have. We become religious, and that's not a good thing. Religion is not a good thing. We stop seeing the need for change in ourselves and we start recognizing the need for change in other people. Now we become judgmental towards other people. We need to look at ourselves and be aware of the changes that we need to make in our lives. We need to be aware of the changes that I need personally. So I'm not focused on other people. I'm not focused on changing anybody else but myself. I don't have to worry about what God is doing in your life because I'm more concerned with what God's doing in my life. And the step of faith that we need is this, we need to allow change to continue. We can't get to the place where we just say, you know what, I've experienced this change in the past and I'm good with that. And God's good with it. God is in the process of changing all of us all the time. You've heard this scripture 1,000 times, but David says it in Psalms 26. He says, put me on trial, God, and cross-examine me, test my motives in my heart. And he's saying, continue to look within me and see whatever change that needs to happen. There's no end to the change that God is working in our lives. It's only going to stop when we get to heaven. That's a good thing and a bad thing, right? I mean, we all got to change, but we just have to accept it as a healthy part of our life. So important issues concerning change that we need to be aware of is change, first of all, begins with surrender. Change begins when we surrender our lives to God. Jesus says that if you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms, which is what we want, is life on God's terms. But if we're holding on, grasping on to things, we're grasping on trying to have control, we're never going to get life on God's terms. We also need to know that change is a process. For some, it happens faster than others, but most of us, change is a slow process. It's full of successes and failures. 2 Corinthians says this, all of us, nothing between us and God, our face is shining with the brightness of His face, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. It is a process that we've got to understand. Change has to be a part of our lives. I don't know what change God is working into your life personally. But I'm asking you this, and maybe I'm just encouraging you this. Don't get discouraged. Don't get lethargic. Change is a process. Take it as it comes. Allow it as it comes. We also need to know that change happens when we partner with God. Because Philippians 1:6 tells us that God who began the good work in you will keep right on helping you grow in His grace until His task within you is finally finished. God is the one who started it, and He's the one that's going to finish it. And I mention this because the change we're talking about is not a self-help method of becoming a better person. God actually does away with the old and creates something completely new in us. And we partner with God in that process. We have to allow Him because He's not going to force Himself. He's not going to force change in you. God steps in to do what only He can do. I can't change my heart, nor can you, but God can. But I can change my language. Right? I can change my language, but I can't change my heart. And my heart is where this language comes from. I have to surrender my emotions to Him. I have to bring my anger into check. I can do that. I have to forgive. I can do that. Before I surrendered to Christ, I could have never believed that God would do in me what He's already done. Never. In the wildest dreams, I would have. And it's great news, because the great news is, He's not finished. And I know that's really encouraging for a lot of you to hear that God's not finished with me. But He's not finished with any of us. And even though we might think, man, I can't even imagine what God wants to do, I can tell you this, He's not even close to being done. And it's good for us. God changing us is a series of stops and starts. We stop doing things so that we can start doing something else. We have to stop this so that we can start this. So when it comes to change within us, we need to stop grasping for what we want in life and start embracing what God wants. That's the stop and the start. Stop grasping at what we want in life and start embracing what God wants in our lives. And again, this is about control. We have to let go of what we think is important so we can grab onto what God says is important. For some of you, it might be pride, it might be hurt, it might be abuse, it might be being right. It could be an issue of security that you're holding on to, or revenge or disappointment. Maybe it's the thought that just says, I don't want to let go of this. And God says, let go. It might even be an issue or a thought that says, I don't care what God thinks. That's an issue that we've got to address. I know we read it earlier, but again, Luke 17, Jesus tells us, if you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you're going to lose it. If you're clinging to control in life, the life that you're looking for, you will lose it. We can't embrace God while we're embracing the baggage and pain of our attitudes. So stop grasping for what you want and start embracing what God wants. Another one is this. We got to stop trying to fit in and start thinking of how we can stand out. We have to stop trying to fit in and start thinking of how we can stand out. I love this scripture, but it's in Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. When we're consumed with fitting in, we'll never stand out. If you're really worried about fitting in to this world, you will never stand out. You'll never be a light on a hill that Jesus says you're supposed to be. We have to let God change our thinking about what's important in life. And a changed life requires changed thoughts. It could be changed thoughts about your spouse. It could be changed thoughts about your parents. Changed thoughts about your kids. Changed thoughts about your own life. change thoughts about God. Your perspective is important, and the change that God works into us requires the change in our thinking. The last one is this: God changes us when we stop fighting God and start allowing Him to lead us. Change happens when we stop fighting God and start allowing Him to lead. I like Romans 2:4 says, God is kind, but He's not soft. In kindness, He takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. Think about that. That's what God's doing with you. He's taking you by the hand, and He's leading you into a radical life change. That's not just like you look a little bit different than you used to. It's like we look completely different than we used to. Because change is more of a process than an event. Change can happen, bam. For some people it does, but most cases it's a process. And it requires God molding and shaping us like a potter forms a vase out of a lump of clay. And if the clay actually says, you know what, dude, this is taking way too long, I'm out of here. Or if the clay says, you know what, this is way too painful, I don't think I have the endurance for this. Maybe the lump of clay says, you know what, I need to be somewhere else. The process is never complete. And I want to encourage you to let God lead you, whatever He wants to do in your life. Because the change that God is working in your life is far better than the life that you're trying to create on your own. What is God wanting to change in you? And I would say this, for some of you, you know exactly what it is because He's telling you, He's pointing it out. And you haven't just feeling it right now, you've been feeling it for a while. You know that there's something that God has got His finger on in your life that He's like, hey, I'd like to change this in you. Can I just tell you this, that He'll let you carry that as long as you want to carry it. He's not going to push you. He's not going to force you to change. He's going to allow you to work it out in your timing. But the longer you resist the change, the more problematic it will become in your life until you finally get tired of this issue, whatever it is. So if you've got something in your life, you know that God's wanting to change it, but you're like, no, I'm okay. I'm just letting you know, God will let you carry it as long as you want. And the problem will get greater and greater and greater until it is so big and so problematic that you're tired of carrying it. And you finally get to that place where you surrender. I'd like you to close your eyes if you wouldn't. Just hear me. As we wrap up our time, we're going to pray together. Are you fighting God or are you letting Him lead? Are you satisfied with the changes He's made? Or are you interested in what lies ahead? Do your values and your thoughts reflect the world or God? Have you come to the point where you're tired of your current condition? You've taken responsibility for your part in the problem. Is your reason to change greater than your excuses to stay as you are? Man, I just want to encourage you. God loves you beyond your wildest dreams. The God that I wish you knew wants to change you because He loves you. The God that I wish you knew has a life that is so much better than you could ever create in your own control. The God that I wish you knew is faithful, and He's so patient with us. But His patience is not acceptance. His patience is not condoning our behavior. His patience is respect for you. When are you done? Father, we come to you this morning. You see each one of our hearts. You see each one of our lives. You know what's going on in us. None of us are perfect. You're in the process of changing all of us. And every single one of us have areas of our lives that you're putting your fingers on. You're pointing out that you want to change it, but Father, you're also so patient. And I ask that you would help us today. Help each one of us to surrender ourselves and to surrender control to you. Father, may our reason to change be greater than our excuses to stay as we are. Father, Father, may you reassure each person that's here that the changes that you desire to make in their lives come out of your love for them. And while it might feel scary, while it might feel unnerving because we don't know exactly what those changes are going to look like for us, Father, you are good always. And you'll never put us in a place where it's bad or we don't like what you're doing in our lives because, Father, you always have the very best in mind for us. So, Father, for every one of us today, give us faith to take steps and trust you to understand that, Father, your love is greater than we could imagine, and we can trust you completely. Father, for those that are here today that need a relationship with you and they want to know you, Father, you see their hearts, and as they reach out to you and say, God, I want you to be the center of my life, as they accept what your son Jesus has done on the cross for their sins, Father, I pray that you would just fill them today and that you would fill each one of us in a very new way with your love and your presence and your spirit. Father, we're so grateful and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.